With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to a brand new TAT pod. We've got a lot to discuss today, but first of all, before we get into it, massive shout out to our new sponsors, Your Foot Card. Guys, I know there's some FIFA sweats in the chat right now. There's got to be some guys out there. It's June, it's 30 degrees. I know for a fact there's some people still playing foot champs, still raging because they're not getting the score they want. So, look, treat yourself to a foot card. Get yourself one for your kid if you've got one. Get yourself one, get your dad one, whoever wants one, get them one. And who knows, we might even have a new player on here very soon, which we will get into in just a moment. But yeah, show the guys some love. Use discount code TATPOD at checkout. You can get 15% off any item on their site. Every single promo card's on there at the minute. I believe it is Shapeshifters. So yeah, make sure you check those guys out. Follow them on Twitter. Show them some love. And yeah, massive thanks to those guys for sponsoring the pod once again. Boys, I have been raging in the chat for the last few days because I knew we needed to stream today, and I did not want to stream today because I'm sick to death of talking about the same three players, Kone, Thuram, Gravenberch. I said to Mike, look, Mike, we're going to have to pluck something out here, find something that we've not spoken about these guys before. And then Mike, David Ornstein, out of absolutely nothing, you get these ITKs on Twitter, been telling us for Thuram is imminent, been telling us Kone and all these other midfielders. And then Ornstein today comes with a big update. And before we get into that, before I address the comments, we have to ask the panel how they're doing, these three fine gentlemen, starting with you, Craig, the best beard on the podcast, by the way. How are you, mate?
Thanks for giving me that title then.
I'm fuming. Go on.
How can you argue with that? That's like an Ali Becker beard.
I'm trying, bro. You know, it's all right. You know, participation trophy. Sorry, go on, Craig.
Yeah, I want my, you know, an Irish man. My mother knitted me when I was younger. So it was born, I grew it myself. But yeah, no, I really good. Really, really good now. Picked up a lot after the news. Even at the last 2 days as well, the Lavia news coming in recently, yeah. Too. Just nice to see a bit of movement. While the under-21 tournament is going on, and we're just kind of sat here waiting for that to finish, and to see if we are waiting for that to finish, and like, because that might not even be the case as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Good to hear, Mike. Enjoy quiche, mate. Look very nice.
Hey. Listen. Yeah. I don't tweet about football on the timeline, but I just put music and I put the food I cook. All right. I'm a very peaceful man. And the quiche, by the way, unreal. I'll tell you now, unreal, okay? It tastes even better.
Before we carry on, you've never said it on the podcast, so I'm going to say, everyone check out Mike Quill on Spotify. He's never plugged himself, so I'm going to plug him. Check him out. Amazing rapper. Sure,
hey, thank you. Yeah. I will say, well, I got a second to plug. July 12th, new song. Get ready. Anyway, no, but genuinely, you know, the quiche tasted better knowing that we had a bit of transfer news to talk about, because I've run out of things to talk about with Thuram. We've gone through every stat. We've gone through every possible thing. I have been Googling. I've been in spaces listening to people chat about it, trying to be like, oh, I might just steal their idea at this point. But but like, no, it's good that we've got new news, and I'm excited to definitely excited to talk about it.
Exactly. And last but certainly not least, Elliot, before you go, mate, we need to address something. You said in a few streams ago, when we asked for a player that's not necessarily been linked with Liverpool, that you'd like to sign. And who did you say?
Oh, don't make me be the first one to pronounce his name. So Bazlai, I reckon I've nailed it.
Sob-a-sly. Sob-a-sly.
Right. Yeah, Dom. I did. Yeah, so I'm quite buzzing. I look like I'm really knowledgeable now. So let's crack on with it.
George needs you on his teammate. Before we get straight into it, let's go straight into some of your guys' comments. There's a lot of you in there, 39 to be precise. Please make sure you smash the like button, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. H, educate, we need Barella. Maybe we'll talk about Barella in a bit. Redbird, hello, mate. Give me Barella from Thomas. Get that bag, lads. It's not. Listen, it's a good start, but yeah, we're still doing it voluntary. Let's just say that. Faran, big up, mate. Lamb, 8 out of 10 because he's too expensive. Footy boys back in the stream. And top LFC, do you all think that we can get Soberslide for listeners' release clause? Brilliant question, and we're gonna get straight into it. So it was roughly at 12:29 PM. I remember because I actually did this tweet. So you're all very welcome. I was actually working. I was dealing with a few customers on the phone, and then this just comes out of nowhere. I'm typing as quick as I can, checking that I've got his name right, all of those things. And not to blow my own trumpet, out of all the Liverpool accounts on there, I do believe this was the first tweet to go out. So happy days. Liverpool exploring. Now, that is the key word, because we've heard seducing, we've heard appreciating, we've heard flirting. But we are now exploring, guys. We're turning to explorers. Dominic Soboslai of RB Leipzig. LFC met his camp last week, but it is unclear if it develops due to his price. But he is the desired profile. So we'll just address this one first, straight off the bat. Mike, coming to you, mate.
All right. Well, firstly, really side note, footy by a senior comment. Thank you. Moving on to that. Moving on to the actual side of things. Well done on getting out first, because there was a million ITKs that were jumping out straight away saying, yeah, as I tweeted back in March. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. None of this. I hate these people. I really do. Like, it drives me insane. Ornstein dropping it. Obviously, that means more than most. I'm still very skeptical because, you know, if you read the article, all of the words we're very used to are there. Explores, seduced, flirts, send a private DM, slid in DMs late last night. All of the things we're used to. It doesn't mean that it's over the line. It doesn't even mean it's near the line. He's a different type of profile to everything else that we've been discussing. If you guys have listened to the pod before, you know, when we discuss the profiles, they all seem to be in two similar, almost two different lists is how I describe it. And he doesn't seem to fit either of those, which is interesting, because I then seen another tweet, which, you know, maybe this will become a topic of debate, where it doesn't feel like this particular deal has anything in line with what we considered a necessary need for this summer, and whether that is something, maybe it's because we don't know enough about the player, maybe he'll suit the system more than we realize, and maybe he's got a lot more about him than we realize. I'm just very skeptical about it. I'm just very, very skeptical, and not about the player, to be clear. I know the player is an absolute, you know, worldy, 22, load of talent. It's just more so, is he sufficient to fill the areas we need improving, is, I suppose, is the debate.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I think that's pretty much how we all feel, to be fair. I think we're all pretty much very, I'm just assuming here, 50-50 on whether this is going to happen. Craig, is that how you feel as well with this early sort of news that we've had?
Big time, yeah. It's obviously the price tag that everyone is checking and going, right, is that feasible? Is that going to work? And, you know, we're ingrained to look that way. I'm quite hopeful, actually, in a way, just because... It depends on what our budget is and what we're going to do. But if you look at the players that we're looking at Barella, we're looking at Soboslai, and other, you know, other big, I suppose, the high earners, but just in the higher price point. And it's obviously something we're looking at. So it's not out of the realms of possibility. So let's just get that straight there for the moment. Let's just pretend that we can spend this money and this is a realistic target in one way. The guy is super exciting. And aside from, like, I totally get what Mike's saying there about the profile that we were looking for going into the summer. And it kind of seemed like the attacking mid / forward replacement would be an added bonus after a centre back. Whereas the thing with Soboslai is, like, he could fill into midfield, into an eight position, but also could cover Salah or cover up in the higher positions too, which makes it really interesting. But there's a few other things about him as well that are, I think, could suit us, and some of the weaknesses that we had maybe a season previous, as opposed to last season. We had, you know, too many issues last season to really pinpoint going, that's definitely what we need. We needed a lot of different things. But if you can imagine us going back to being the dominant team in matches, trying to break down a low block, you know, so that's what we where we were 2 years ago. I think that is exactly where he'll come into it and give us that other option apart from the cross, apart from, you know, breaking it out to Trent or Robbo or going that route. Lots of little one-twos, intricate play in around the place. He's actually, I did a deep dive on him earlier on because I just knew he passed the eye test before. I knew he was a great player, whereas I was like, okay, I need to know a bit more about him in that regard. And he was fourth highest in the Bundesliga for 1-2 actions and shooting. So like that's a lot of an area I've seen us fail quite a lot, where we can get these little passes in and out, in around the box, but then we don't get the shot away. We don't create that chance from it. It's just a nice bit of interplay. So he's got that quick feet where he can actually get the shot away pretty quickly as well. And then he's heavily involved in the build-up for quite a high forward as well. So he's doing those like pre-chance creation bits, but then also creating the chance. So he's involved in the build-up, and then he gets involved to take the shot as well as get the cross in. And then the last thing about him, high work rate. And that is, you know, something that we were missing last year, is that pressing from the higher areas. And yeah, I think it's, you know, obviously we're more concerned about the defensive side of things, the six and that area. But, you know, I think between being a dominant team, we can get away with having an all-out six. And it's more about having more of a stable foundation. And, you know, if you're winning the balls high up the field and you have the ball all the time, then you don't really need that dedicated guy. So, no, I think I agree with Mike in one way, but then I see a lot of potential in other ways as well.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Elliot is the man who said that we should sign this guy. How are you feeling about it? Do you share the same sort of cautiousness that it might not happen?
I think you have to take that cautiousness with any deal, really, especially when the headlines when they explore. And but I don't think it should be like a surprise. Mount was meant to be the number one target. Bellingham was meant to be his number one target. As soon as Bellingham goes, Mount's the number one target. So it's the similar. I just think it's a similar profile than the fact he's 6'1", and with Liverpool wanting to build the team of giants all of a sudden. I don't think it should be like some sort of surprise that he's all of a sudden been linked. With prices, and you know, you're getting all these reports, as we were saying, there's one saying release clause, and then there's one saying they're going to wait for the negotiations. That has to play out. I mean, I don't think Liverpool make the move in 2 days' time. They want to break the negotiations down and see whether they can make add-ons so they're not paying a whole 60 million at once and stuff. So yeah, cautiousness to see how a deal will happen and whether it will happen, but not a surprise. I mean, I think maybe the worry that I had going back a few weeks ago is more the fact that Liverpool's whole main focus wasn't the six, but Mount was like this number one target. That was what I thought anyway. So, I mean, I know you said the Lavia links as well, but it appears to me that they're prioritising like the right attacking midfield role over a six. They've almost sorted the left side with Jones and McAllister. You've got Thiago 1 year left. So it appears to me that they're going to trust Fabinho, and they're going to prioritise right attacking midfielder rather than the other way round, if that makes sense. So I'm not surprised that there's another name now after the Mount links have died down, because we pulled out, basically.
Do you think that's a mistake, though? Do you think... So I say mistake. Maybe that's too heavy a word. I understand the idea of, like, okay, McAllister on the left, you've got McAllister, you've got Jones, you've got Thiago. I'm still one that believes McAllister could get played on the left or the right. I don't think that's set in stone yet.
Yeah.
If he's played on the left, that's completely fine. I'm not like an advocate saying he has to play on the right. But if you then say the right is, you know, Dom. I'm going to call him Dom because I don't want to get butchered saying it wrong.
So it's Sabo.
Sabo. Right, I like
Mike,
Sabo.
Hang on, before you carry on. Craig went out of his way to find a YouTube video on how to pronounce his name. And you haven't even had to
watch it.
Didn't watch it.
I've seen it, and I even put in the chat. I was like, "That's class. That's well done, boy."
Sub a slide.
Sub a slide.
Oh my!
I feel like Paul Merson trying to say Mkhitaryan.
Yeah,
that's a very old reference. But I think for me though, if you have him on the right, and then say the only backup for him on the right, let's say, is Henderson, Elliot. Sorry, Elliot, who played a fantastic game today for England. I then get nervous because I don't think we fixed our problem. Because I don't think our defensive issue...
They become the backups.
Well, yeah, you think so. You'd think that Dom would start, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so Dom, then... and then you'd have those as backups.
Yeah, but I don't think that's sufficient. Because I don't think that solves the problem. Because I think him coming into the 11, although would be phenomenal, obviously for us going forward, like Craig said, you know, the 1-2s around the box, actually executing the shot. He doesn't seem like he's someone who plays it safe. He will take a risk, which I think is what a lot of us wanted from the likes of Ox or Naby, and maybe something we used to get from like a Lallana way back. You know, that's the type of midfielder we haven't really had for a while, like a Coutinho, you know, probably is a better comparison. But I don't think that necessarily solves our issue, which was the right-hand side of midfield meshing with the defensive unit and covering areas to allow Trent to roam and covering behind Salah, covering behind Trent, covering alongside Fab, it dropping into the defensive awareness of it and tracking runners. I don't think that solves the issue. Go on.
I see what you mean, but when you watch the new system and see Henderson being the furthest forward, I think that does need to be addressed with an attacking player. You can't have Henderson as the further forward. I know what you mean in terms of that, but I think that comes into not the player and not the sign, and it turns into more of the nailing down the system in pre-season if they're going to go and use that system.
So if we use that new system, just again, running with that idea, the new system, let's say hypothetically we signed Dom, he's on your right, you've got Trent behind, you've got Salah on the right. That means you're putting all the pressure on Konate, Trent, Salah, and Dom to defend this right-hand side brilliantly. And most of the time, you're going to be depending on Trent's cover, Trent's ability to scan, which has been questionable when he's been, you know, a defender anyway, and Konate's ability to cover the right-hand side, which obviously we're talking about, you know, already being an issue in the last 10 games. It was an issue with the system. I just don't feel like it addresses it unless we sign.
I'm not saying that Dom Sobers, I don't know why I'm calling him Dom, I can say his name. I don't know. I'm not saying Soboslai is going to come in and be this defensive player or anything like that, but I have done a bit of research today. I've watched a lot of clips. He does have that element to his game. Like, he's not just an out and out attacker. They rave about his off the ball ethic.
He's one of the highest ground covers. Yeah.
The reports I've read, they've just all waxed lyrical about how hard he works off the ball.
For sure.
His pressing, working on the front foot, all of those things. I know what you mean, though. Like, you know, we were traumatized last season with some of the stuff we saw go down that side. And
Maybe I'm too wary.
No. It's good. We have to be like that. But my thing was, I think it's interesting what Elliot said, because I was speaking to my brother about this. When, you know, Mason Mount comes into play, and that was like the talk for like 3-4 months that, oh, we're going to go for Mount. And then he doesn't come in. I believe, this is my theory, I believe Liverpool thought they could have got Mount for 40, 45. So he was the first choice in terms of that sort of hybrid between an 8 and a wide attacker. But then obviously as soon as, you know, you see the quotes of 60 million go out, it's like, oh, well, mate, we can get Soboslai, who is probably better than Mount, probably gives us more output. And, you know, yeah, I can see it happening. I mean, I know that's a bold statement, and we're going to get into the fee and all of that eventually. But I also think Ali makes a good point. Dominic Soboslai has been on Klopp's radar for some time. We've read this again today where, you know, we've been looking at this guy, and I know people say, oh, same old manager in FC. Yeah, fine, whatever. I can understand why people get frustrated by that. But I believe this is one that, you know, we clearly want, because Ornstein, who is as reliable as they come, reported just this week we've met up with his reps. So we clearly want him. He's spoken out publicly about Klopp and Liverpool literally in the last few months. I think it's something that could happen. And let's just go into the clause and all that. We alluded to it just a moment ago.
Carvalho as well.
Let me just read out these two tweets and then we'll dive straight into it. So the first one says Dominic Soboslai's release clause is available for 70 million euros. So that's about 60 million quid in the case the club submits an official bid until June the 30th. So we've literally got 2 days if we want to get him for that price. And then in the same article, Ornstein says that any deal for Dominic Soboslai is complicated, however, and there is an acceptance within the club that it will be very difficult to get the deal done. So whilst it does look like we want him and he's keen to come to Liverpool in some sense, Ornstein also makes it clear that this deal is not just as simple as, you know, okay, we've got 2 days, let's pay the release clause and he's a Liverpool player. Elliot, I don't know if you wanted to touch on this because you was alluding to it earlier about you're not sure if it's going to be done in the 2 days. Do you sort of think we're happy to let the release clause go over the next 2 days and then see what sort of structured payment we can do for this guy.
Definitely. Yeah, it would appear that would. I think every transfer Liverpool have done have been smart, really, over the well since Klopp came in. And I mean, my first thought, as you know, worrying was would have been that they'll ask for more, but I don't think you can ask them for more than 70 million euros, so 60 million ish pounds, basically. I think that would be. I think that price wouldn't change, but it's simply the structure. You said, Ben, 40 to 45 amount, maybe upfront for Szoboszlai, and then you pay the rest in add-ons and see how well he does. Basically, I don't think that would be that complicated. Really, it shouldn't be. And then if it is, Liverpool should do the smart thing and walk away.
That's a good point absolutely. About walking away. Sorry, Ben, about walking away. I think. It's quite a hard topic to discuss with Liverpool, you know, with fans like ourselves because of what we've been through regarding transfers. I'm not for the idea of. I see a lot of people. I've been trying to be more active in the spaces to try and hear what more fans are thinking online. Yeah, I've got to be honest. I don't last very long in there. If you ever
you
see
need
me,
brain answers, cells, mate. Listen to
that. Yeah. I join them for like 5 seconds. Hear too much shouting, and then just.
The ones hosted by people to do with like you know yourselves, like maybe that's biased, but like they are you know they're good because they're eligible. But some of the spaces I've been in recently, I think there seems to be this idea that a marquee signing should be of a specific caliber, and I say caliber, should be of a specific price range. Like, if you're not dropping 60-70 on this player, he's not worth it. So, for example, they're talking about McAllister. The conversation among fans is McAllister a marquee? And I look at McAllister the same way I looked at Salah when he came in or Mane came in. Although they appear maybe less like a marquee signing to the general eye because they don't come from a top four club across whatever top league. They are marquee in terms of how they'll transform how we are as a team. I think, for example, with you know, Dom, I'm still not going to say his name, with Dom, I do think we'd be able to negotiate the price down. And I do think this Carvalho going to Leipzig is not just a coincidence, even though we've been told that, you know, it's not linked. I do think that's a sweetener in the deal.
It might not be linked directly, but like, yeah. Come on.
The other thing is that doesn't work out exactly how they want it either, which...
Yeah.
It's just on that as well, by the way. We got the Fabrizio here we go literally 2 hours before, and then this comes out. We've already got good relations with the Red Bull group. You know, you look at the players we've had in the past. Come on, man. Out of all the clubs Carvalho could have gone to, is that really not a coincidence?
And I don't think it would have. The last thing I'll say before, you know, I'll let one of the other lads chime in with it. I don't think this would have came out by Ornstein unless we as a club have already had some indication that we're going to be able to do something with the deal. I'm quite a firm believer in that. I think when Ornstein comes out and says something, Ornstein's just tweeted, right, here we go, 105 mil. All right. Which is what
that's
I mean, by the way, when it comes to marquee. That's a whole other thing.
That's not marquee, man. No.
But this is what I mean about the idea, the concept. But that's a whole different thing. I'm not getting into that. I'm not talking about Rice.
Yeah, we won't get into Declan Rice because that can be a debate.
There's no need. But yeah, the overall point is I think it was a sweetener in the deal. I think we'll negotiate it down. 45-50 is what I'm going for if we are able to get him. But see what the other boys think.
That sounds good. Craig, I want to come to you. Obviously, Mike was just alluding to it there with the marquee thing. Let me just say straight off the bat, I hate that. You know, people are saying like we need a marquee signing. So what essentially you're saying by that is you want to do a United and just go out there and sign a Alexis Sanchez or a Di Maria. You're not happy to go and get the right fit or the right profile. You just want the big names. So my question to you, Craig, is if we did go and sign Szoboszlai, do you think that's an ambitious signing for a club like us? Do you think it's the sort of player that we should be signing anyway, or do you think it is a marquee signing?
Oof. Again, I'd be very similar to you lads in that regard. I whether it's marquee or not is you know subjective type of thing. It's a subjective opinion, and you know you can go either way. Yeah, we saw it with Van Dijk and Alisson down the past. I think people are just craving for that, as opposed to anything else. Like if they're craving for what United are after, that's on them. Like we've seen how that hasn't worked down the years. Like we look at Gakpo, Antony. Which would you rather? You know, straight away off the bat, would you rather the 100 million flop or the 35 million or that whatever it was? In the end of the day, we're talking about a whole player and the difference between these guys. So at the end of the day, no, I'm never going to stand over and say I want to spend 60 to 70 million plus on a player when I know you can get two McAllisters, or, you know, in the end you can work out a deal that will work out. Where I prefer, you know, squad management in all that regard. I'm all about characters building it. You know, the sum
absolutely
of our the sum of our parts is greater than what we are as individuals. And that's the way Klopp is. That's the way, you know, when people will blame FSG for it, but Klopp tied into what they offered him for a good reason. And it's based on, you know, it's based on hard work on the training ground. It's based on building relationships. It's a lot more than the price tags of players. So, like, we can actually look to avoid getting marquee signings for very good reasons. You know, it upsets the apple cart. You're changing your wage structure around, and there's egos and things like that around the place as well. So it's never going to be like a definite win for everyone. It can easily go the wrong way around. So in terms of price tags, I'll never judge a player on his price tag, and I will judge the sporting directors and the club on the price tag more so, and say that's a bad deal. You know, I'm much in that category, and I know people will hate to hear it at times, but at the end of the day, if we can get Sabo, if we can get Sabo for, you know, 50 million as opposed to 70 million, he's still a marquee signing at 50 million than he is at 70. You know, at the end of the day, it's just a figure. And what people don't realize is, you know, we do need numbers as well as quality in here now and too. So we need a number of quality additions. So going out and getting a marquee signing, while it is fantastic, is not what we need to do right now. It's something we
unless
could be
killing Mbappe.
you had to mention the name, didn't you?
Mbappe, I'm all for it. Yeah.
Valverde too. Sorry, I know that was one of the comments on the tweet. Yeah, Valverde was mentioned as well. We are not discussing that.
Do you want to just also mention Doku or no?
Oh, yeah. I know
that even the mention of the name gives Ben like an issue.
Guys watching, there's a reason the Alpha Talk didn't tweet the Doku talk. Just make of that of what you will.
Facts.
I don't think there's any world where we're going to spend 40 million on an attacker right now. I can't see it. Like I said to Craig, if you want to go spend the rest of the budget on Mbappe, that means we get absolutely nothing else. Do it. I'm not bothered. Go get Mbappe. I don't care about centre mids. But unless it's that, they ain't getting a forward, man. Like, there's no chance that Klopp is stupid enough to think, oh, what does this team need right now? Oh, another backup forward. No, it's not happening. Elliot, just coming back to you, mate. Szoboszlai. Do you have a good understanding of him from watching him?
He's a bit raw, isn't he? 22, and some of the things you watch from him, you think, wow. So I think it's exciting. Whereas with, not to say I'm an advocate for Mount. You know, I'm comparing these two because I mean these are two right attacking midfielders, if you will, as you were saying just then, Ben, as well, with a forward, it almost can fill in as a forward. So it's clever thinking as well. Mount, you kind of knew what you were going to get. And obviously, you know a bit more because you're watching him in this country. But obviously, some of the goals you see from him, you said it before, like it's Coutinho kind of esque in terms of Liverpool. You know, when he was there, you rely on him with a low block. And you don't want Liverpool to rely on a 22-year-old in a low block situation where it will happen more often than not. But it gives such a different option, really. And as I said before, you're not getting it from Henderson when he's right wing and going as a false centre forward when Gakpo is dropping deep, if you're going to stick with the system, of course. But then as well, you're not going to stick with the system. It gives you another option. It's a few things. There's a few different things with the signing. As a player, he's a bit of a live wire, live cracker. So why not? Why not? And there's... he's a fun player, isn't he? Whereas with Mount, I'm not to say he's not fun, but you kind of know you're getting like the fundamentals of the player. Whereas with Szoboszlai, I think you'd be looking away for 1 second, you look back and the ball's flew in the back of the net type of thing. So it will be fun, but let's not get ahead of ourselves because we don't want to get hit.
Yeah. Very, very early stages, Mike Gorman.
Yeah, sorry, I realised I was on mute. Hypothetically, though, there's a possibility that it's a one or the other here between Taram and look at the segue. Great minds think alike, right?
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Please do.
Yeah, and we'll come to you straight away, Mike. This was the next tweet I wanted to talk about. Ornstein says, as things stand, Szoboszlai is high in Liverpool's thinking amid interest in the likes of both Kevin Thuram and Romeo Lavia. So straight there off the bat, we've got Lavia, who's more of a different, obviously, profile. We know that he's more of a DM, more of a six. Thuram, more of an eight. And Szoboszlai, sort of like a, like I said before, the hybrid between the eight and the attacking midfielder. So, yeah, Mike, does that link with what you was about to say?
Yeah, perfectly. Yeah, absolutely perfectly. I think, so like you say with Lavia, I think there was a, came out from Fabrizio on his podcast barely a couple of days ago. He mentioned how we were prioritizing a physical midfielder. And now, I don't know much about Dom. I know that, you know, physically he's, you know, somewhat tall, but I don't know whether he comes under the idea of a physical midfielder. So then that tells me, is it a one or the other scenario between, let's say, him and Thuram? Is it him and then that's it in terms of midfielders? Or is there a situation where potentially we go McAllister, Dom, and Lafia, for example? Now, if we do those three in midfield, you know, I don't know whether I'm in the minority in saying this, but I think that's a very good three signings, because all good age range. Lavia, age-wise, works perfectly for phasing.
Lavia, McAllister, and Szoboszlai.
Yeah. So, because Lavia, I'd be happy with that. Lavia,
you
know...
Are you guys happy with that?
How would you guys feel?
Yeah, obviously. Just our budget is the only thing.
There we go.
Well, it is budget. All right, hold on. Before you say budget, you're about to get a million people just straight in the comments, just FSGF. Hypothetically, it is affordable, though. Because you think about it. Let's say Dom is 50. Let's say we somehow knock 10 off, right? Let's just say 50. And you think, how much would Lafia cost? Do we really think he'd cost 50 as well? I feel like we'd get Lafia for 40. So then you're talking, what, that's 90? It's one. That's one Jude Bellingham, basically. Well, that's what that works out as a price of. You know, apologies if that upsets anyone by bringing his name up, you know.
I'm over Jude Bellingham now.
I was looking at it. It really depends on the budget. So, like, you know, we could be in a stage now where we're trying to knock 5 million off each transfer.
Mm.
And, you know, and like it could be that stage, and we can get them all in that case. But otherwise, if they're all priced at what we've seen they've been priced at, then that's our summer done. And then there's no chance for an Iacho or a centre back to come in on top of that, unless there's player sales. So we could nearly fund a cheaper defender with player sales and get those guys on its own. But I'd say that's probably where our thinking's at. It's like, do we give ourselves a little bit of cover there, or do we go all out on Szoboszlai in midfield? Because you could probably do.
I still think they have to look at another one. I've been banging this drum for about 5 months. You can't be having Fabinho starting that first game of the season when you've watched him last season. He looked much better in that winning run in possession, but as a defensive midfielder, you can't have him starting. I mean, I might be going a bit mentally here, but I did mention Thuram as a six, and I on a podcast a good while ago, you know, learning a bit more, you can see he's not literally just a six, but I have a mad thing where I think they might want to make him a six, like they did with Wijnaldum. They totally changed him around. I know maybe you could say you waste him with his ball carrying and his attacking kind of, you know, in the box and around the box. But when you look at some of Fabinho's positions in this system that he picked up, he was so much further forward than maybe you'd anticipate him. So I think, I mean, even the Southampton game, I know it was a write-off, it didn't matter. He got an assist because he was on the edge of the box, Fabinho. You put Thuram there, you have a whole new thing. Okay, the defensive side of things. But he's a monster, and he looks like he can destroy plays with his tackling and things like that. So, I mean, I know Lavia is a much more, like, a normal six, if you want to put it like that. But I just have some mad thing. If they do go and get Thuram, Szoboszlai, you know, it's the reason Ornstein's saying it. You have the fund, yeah, okay. But if you do, like Mike, you just said, 40 and 40, or maybe 50, Szoboszlai, I think it's got to be doable. How can it not be doable for a club like Liverpool? It can't not be doable. But like, I do think Lavia's a bit, like, he looks great and he will be great. Thuram maybe a couple more years ahead of him in terms of experience wise. I just think I have some mad idea they might just try Thuram as a six, especially when you've got Bacetic there as well, because you know you can like kind of go back and forth with the idea.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Anyway, Klopp is that any of the midfielders should be able to play the six role at some stage or another anyway, and like should be able to switch around between themselves. You know, we've seen Henderson do it, we've seen Ronaldo do it, we've seen Milner do it, and everything else of that. So I think barring Szoboszlai, you know, you'd nearly expect all of these transfers to be able to play that six, but then also play the centre mid role as well. So like Lavia might have to be expected to play a little bit higher up the pitch if he is signed, and he definitely has the attributes to play further forward as well as in the defensive six position. And I think that was the big thing that people were getting caught up over was the Batisic and Lavia. Yeah,
for that. Why not both? Christ,
this is the thing. This is the thing. Like these people will say we need like five midfielders, and then you go and try and sign one, and they're like, "No, I want this one."
No one's
like,
happy.
Picking and choosing, exactly. Yeah. I just want to move on to something else, just real quick. There's two more I want to show. The first one, I'm just going to briefly touch this. Dominic Szoboszlai, the RB Leipzig midfielders among those Liverpool I've looked at, but with a 60 million clause, no move as yet. Been made for Hungary international. Now, the reason why I said it like that is because I think people on Twitter, I think there might be a new wave of Liverpool supporters on there that don't really get Paul Joyce. Let me tell you something. This is a positive. This is positive from Joyce. The fact that he said no move yet, instead of just saying no, Liverpool aren't interested, their priorities are an XYZ, that's positive. I'm telling you now for free. That is a positive indication that we are looking at him. We know the situation. We are thinking, and we might be just about to try and dip our feet in the water to see what we can do. Again, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying Paul Joyce is saying we're going to do it. I'm not saying any of that. What I am saying is the fact that he's not dismissed it. Similar with some of the Echo guys. You know, we saw Paul Goyst earlier. He was reporting this. He's usually one of the first to, you know, dampen everyone's spirits when things get exciting. So the fact that these guys are not, you know, shutting it down straight away, it's a positive. And then the last one I wanted to show is everyone's like, oh, the 60 mil. Well, would you look at this? Even the Saudis over at Newcastle apparently felt that the 60 million clause was too expensive. So we might be in a world, guys, where what day are we on now? Wednesday. I wish it was Thursday. We're on Wednesday evening. We might be in a world where Saturday comes. None of us have moved for him. And then it's a battle between who can get him. How would you guys feel about that going against Newcastle?
I'd back it. I'd back us. I think Newcastle can offer a better financial package. They are restricted by FFP, which is the reason why they might look at this price and go, we're not going to pay that. So they'll be looking to negotiate the price down as well. And they'll be looking to do installments as well, the same way we are, which gives us a little bit of an edge. Because no disrespect to Newcastle, I do think we have more pull. You know, I don't think that's a crazy statement. You know what I mean? He's also, you know, spoke about his admiration for Gerrard before. He spoke about his admiration for Klopp before. When he's played against us, I'm pretty sure this, to be fair, I might be stealing this off a tweet, but I'm pretty sure Klopp, after a game, spoke very highly of him when he played against us. That's not knowledge that I know. I took that off Twitter today. So it is what it is. Yeah, so there's a lot that indicates that he'd want to join us. Again, I think also the fact we've just recently been in negotiation with them regarding the loan, you know, we have somewhat of a better connection with Leipzig, perhaps. So I do think there is a lot leaning to us. But the one thing that I don't think we can do, which Newcastle can do, is the financial package of his contract. Simple as
that. When you walk away. When you walk away. Klopp's done it before, and he's always done that. So that's when you do walk away.
That's it. And Klopp's also one of them. I've seen a article on it recently. Klopp's one of those where before a player signs, he wants to know their character, so he will speak to them. He will, you know, have those conversations. And if he doesn't feels the character isn't the type that's going to play for the shirt, rather a player that's going to play for the wage, they'll walk away. Which I know maybe sometimes has happened in deals where we as fans look at it and go, why didn't we just pay the money? Why didn't we get him? And it could be something like that behind closed doors that we don't see. I don't know enough about him to say that I want us to get him. He's, as I say before about the profile, I'm not sure. I think Elliot and Craig have actually swayed me a little bit in terms of him playing on the right-hand side. Does make a lot of sense. I have my reservations about him. I'm not going to pretend like I've seen a million games of him, but it's exciting because of his profile. It's a different profile to what I was expecting us to go for in terms of midfielders. I just hope it doesn't come at the cost of a Lavia or a Thuram, which I believe are would bring something that strengthens an area that we need to fix right away. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, no, I would agree. Again, I've said that so many times, the six should have been the priority. McAllister maybe was too good to turn down, and he can definitely play the six. He's done it for Brighton. But it's just the whole rebuild, the priorities, isn't it? As I said, you can't have Henderson in that role, and you definitely need another six, but you can't rely on Bissetic as well. So you can't be just one. You can't prioritise one. You have to prioritise two. I think it's a very encouraging thing that Ornstein put that line in on Lavia and Thuram, as well as the whole report on Szoboszlai.
Craig, what are you saying?
No, I hear it's like when the big dogs get involved, you know, something's happening, which is much more useful than listening to some other accounts on the timeline. So at least we can, you know, basically back ourselves in this regard, just know that we are in the mix at least. And yeah, with Newcastle spending 70 million on Tonali already, I said it during the week, and like, I'm sure he's a good player. He's never going to be a 100 million player, Tonali. And like, they put on this whatever 10% sell on clause, like on a 70 million transfer, they're going to make 3 million back if they sold for 100 million in a few years. So whatever about it, there's something dodgy going on there, that was done at that level so quickly and at that price. But I can't see how they can then go off and put us into a bidding war with this thing as well. So I feel like I'd be surprised if we had a free run out of it outside of Newcastle as well. There's surely going to be some other player, some other teams involved in it. But he could have his heart set in the Premiership. And let's not forget that Klopp has a lot more pull than
I kind of agree with what you guys are saying, and I get what you're saying completely. But I was thinking about this earlier. They've just lost out on Maddison, who they were looking to get a player like Tonali and Maddison. So I'm not sure what that 70 million does to their budget, because I think I read that they're not actually going to spend as much as people would think this summer. So again, I don't know what that does. You'd probably think they've got at least 50 million left in them. But I think, like I say, they lost out on Maddison. They're going to want somebody else to come in and play that role. But like the guys have said, and like this tweet says, Dominic Szoboszlai, when asked about Jurgen Klopp, "I really like Jurgen Klopp, the kind of human being he is, the way he inspires the team. They can come for any situation. To me, he's the best coach in the world." Well, Dominic, come and play for the best coach in the world in that case. If that's what you think, then look, we all know that this guy will be up for the move, because if he wasn't, he'd tell his reps, "You know what? I'm happy here for now. Let's see what else happens, or let's go to Newcastle, or let's go elsewhere." But the fact that his reps matters, the fact that on that side of things it seems to be going swimmingly well, it literally is just that clause. It is the fee. And that comes with the whole Ornstein report earlier saying that it's not easy, it's not straightforward, it is complicated. Maybe that is the complication, that the teams are going to let the 2 days pass, and then Twitter's going to go into meltdown thinking it's all completely done and dusted. Oh no, 2 days have gone. It's not going to happen now. But then both clubs, or at least one of us, hopefully us, will be negotiating with the club. And like somebody, I can't remember, one of you guys said it, we've had brilliant relations with Leipzig and all the Red Bull teams in the past. You know, we've even arranged pre-season friendlies. And I know people might not think that's a big thing, but it is. Both teams will get a decent amount of money for those games. I think it makes sense. Carvalho, I know we briefly mentioned it earlier, going on loan to them. I don't care what Ornstein says. He is one of my favourite journos, because he's no BS. He's straight to the point. He just drops the bomb and he goes like, there's no, this might happen or this might not happen. He just says it how it is. But in this case, I do believe that we are looking at something from Leipzig to give them Carvalho. So that's all I have to say, really. Again, I'm similar to Mike. I've seen bits and pieces. I made a compilation, shameless plug, on my Twitter, of him balling out against us when he was 19 in 2019 against Salzburg. And
we bought Minamino.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Mike. Out of all the players from Salzburg, and look, respect Aki Minamino, he did great things.
He did great for us, come on now. Yeah.
But, like...
Sounds like that was the player's fault.
Yeah. does anybody else have any like last points to say on this before we wrap up? Because
I got one more. And potentially... This may be, right, this is me living in dreamland, by the way, because I know chances are just, it's because our owners are tight. But one of the reasons maybe Thuram hasn't got pushed over the line straight away because personal terms doesn't seem to be an issue with Thuram. It may be a case of we were looking at him and going, right, 40 mil for him, or we know that this lad from Leipzig wants a move. We know he's on the table. Let's have a meet with his representative. Let's see if there's something that can happen there. And then instead we go for him. That wouldn't surprise me either, because it would explain why Thuram ramped up so quickly and then suddenly went dead silent. Because I don't buy into the whole we don't do deals during the under-21s. I don't buy that in the slightest, because I've seen it happen.
I think that is an issue, though, when a player's focus is totally on a tournament, though. That does come into things, I think.
It does for medicals. It does in that regard. But in terms of agreeing a fee with the club, no.
No.
Was the first to mention that. You know, in all the rumours been going on for weeks, it was a few days ago the first time I've heard that he said he might actually be concentrating on the tournament, which actually makes the most sense out of all the reasons why it would be postponed. As opposed to the injury from our side, that's... like, why not? You know, don't play him then if you're worried he's going to get injured. You know, like, that's...
I do think if these guys felt like they were going to get a big move, but it was either play this game for the 21s, I think they'll just say, look, Liverpool are calling or this team's calling.
I don't think so, unfortunately.
You don't think so?
No, so maybe if they were English, but like, unfortunately, other places are quite patriotic about representing their national team.
He's coming from a World Cup winner's family as well, so yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Imagine his dad. Imagine if he told his dad, "Yeah, I'm not going to represent the national team.
Are you guys talking about Thuram right now?" Of course, he's the only one there. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think if somebody called Thuram tomorrow and said, or tonight, because they're playing tonight, aren't they? Someone rang him right now and said, "You've got to go, or it's off." I think he goes.
I think he would, but I don't think we'd do that.
I don't think that would be the ultimate, to be honest.
I'm just saying.
The other thing as well, it might not just be a case of saying yes or no. It could be, I've listened to my owners talk about how expensive I am. My point is,
if there was a hiccup in there, and if that tournament was going to get in the way to a such. Make a deal not happen. I think the player pushes for the move rather than... That's just how I feel anyway.
I mean, pure speculation, what do we think the holdup is with the Thuram deal? Because, like, my two thoughts are...
There's a holdup, mate.
You don't think there's a hiccup? You just think it's just chilling until...
Transfers are not... Like, people need to remember that. Every single transfer is completely different. We got McAllister done straight away, great. But, like, they all weren't going to go like that. And even Klopp said it. I can't remember what press conference it was. He said better players from better clubs naturally take a bit of time to get over the line. And he said, we're going to try and get all our players in, but some of them might go on for a little bit longer. And as long as, and I've said this and I've made this perfectly clear before one of you guys say your piece on this, when do we go back? Is it like the 19th of July?
Yeah.
As long as we know what's happening by then, I'm sound. If the games start coming in, and we're still using the same players for preseason as we did last season, that's when I'll have a bit of a meltdown about it.
What's your meltdown point, boys? What's your meltdown point? What's the point where you're going to go, I'm actually panicking? Because mine's August 1st. Mine's August 1st. Like, I'm that too much. I'm that positive a person.
August 1st, mate. Yeah, that's absolutely ages away.
That's me. If we get to August 1st and we've only signed, let's say, McAllister and one other, and we haven't signed a centre-back or another midfielder, then I'm going to be a little bit panicky. I'm not going to lie to you.
When do we play Chelsea? Is it
13th? Yeah, I think it is.
So that'll give 2 weeks for the play to settle in.
You want them to have pre-season, don't you?
You do.
We talked about this at the end of the season. Like, we did see enough in the last 11 games that it would not be, you know, at the end of the day stuff if we started the season with a similar team to what we ended last year. And I know we're middle of the transfer window, saying that is not a good thing.
No.
But it is at the same time. It is a good thing at the same time.
You're going to get called FSG apologist by people.
You've still got a team who can win. Yeah, you've still got a team who can win.
Okay, here's a thing that I've been seeing going around. I'll put this to you three. I just want to watch your facial reaction. You get to Chelsea, right? First game of the season.
Don't say Jordan Henderson.
I'm saying him. The midfield three that he's starting is Fabinho, Henderson, and Jones. If it was the last 10 games of the season and seen that, we'd all accepted our fate and we'd all like, that's fine. Jones can do a job. He's been proving himself. Fabinho's found a bit of form. Last game, 10 games of the season, okay, Henderson. But if you start the new season like that, that tells me...
That'll be like the biggest, you know, problem you can ever imagine.
We need to sign someone for that right now.
We still have McAllister, though.
Well, you got McAllister. I'm in the minority, but I'm starting to come
out. I don't even think there's any need to think like that, though, because Liverpool are going to sign players.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
See that on Twitter every day, though. We're not saying
hilarious, but people are having like absolute meltdown.
Liverpool will sign players. They're going to sign players. Let's just relax, like Christ.
But you can't relax, bro. If you relax, then you can sit as an FSU apologist, buddy.
Yeah.
How dare you? How dare you?
I'm getting paid by them. I'm getting paid by them.
Everyone's allowed.
I'm an FSU apologist, by the way. I just want to raise this point. Owen Kenny, and this is I'm so glad you asked this question. This is what we will close this.
I like podcast that question. On.
He says, "How much better are some of these players mentioned than Curtis Jones?"
You guys say your piece first. I've got my own thought, but you guys.
I mean, Szoboszlai, I think, is like a bit of a different class.
McAllister, he could reach elite, you'd say.
Yeah. McAllister is, again, you know, already proven top player. But then I get what you're saying. The likes of Gabri Veiga, and I know the different roles, but Lavia and those guys. I'd have Curtis Jones over Mount all day.
Yeah, exactly. I'd have Jones over Mount.
But I put this out during the week as well. Like, just imagine if you put in our players that we have available in midfield, and you know, who can you use and abuse? And Jones is in this. We have to start managing Fabinho's minutes. We have to start managing Henderson's minutes. We have to start managing Batchett's minutes after his injury last year as well. And Jones is in this awkward category where, you know, he seems like he could be fully fit and he could be used and abused throughout a season. But if those freak injuries, you know, rear their heads again, then he's back into managing minutes. And then he's kind of, you know, he's in the same category as Hendo then, in terms of the amount of minutes he can provide. So Jones, we do have to wait and see. And we do have to actually, you know, have some sort of backup in case he does have, you know, some sort of flare up in the bones or whatever it was.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I rate Curtis Jones highly, by the way. Like, I make that clear. I do think Curtis Jones has got something about him that, you know, I've personally always liked. However, there did definitely come points over the last season prior to his good run where I was fuming to see him even on the pitch. But that's me as a football fan talking, to be clear. Like, you know, when you're fickle in moments, and, you know, I was fickle in those moments. I think he's on his last chance. You say he's on his last chance, Owen? I mean,
sounds like he's been awful forever.
Here's the thing. I'll punch back on that. Because, like, I understand why, like, fans might feel like that way. I think for me, I have the same feeling towards Elliot as well. They're both very young. Like, they're both very young. And I know it's really easy to look at starlets like maybe a Phil Foden and go, well, if they're not performing like that, then I don't want them. But that's like quite a narrow mindset. It's a very narrow mindset. And I think what Jones brings to the team, what he can bring to the team, I like a lot. And the same with Elliot. And I think they just need a bit more time. And everyone last season underperformed. Absolutely everyone. Everyone up to Salah didn't perform well last season. And Georgie made a nice little comment there if anyone wants to bounce off that. But I don't know, boys, you guys keep Jones. Would Jones be someone you recommend for the starting 11 at the start of next season against Chelsea?
If Jones starts against Chelsea,
why not?
I hope he's shown it.
Elliot, I'm not trying to rattle you, mate. I'm sorry.
I know. Why would that be a problem? You see people absolutely flip the lids on that. Liverpool just won like 10 games above Barn Southampton with Jones being one of the star players. And like you said with McAllister, he's one of them where you can definitely play him on that right-hand side as well. Maybe that's not the plan. It definitely isn't the plan, probably, because he's almost been coached to, again, be a bit more conservative at times, but then make them late runs into the box. But he can definitely play on either side. As you said with Elliot as well, you've got two players there who can absolutely play so many minutes in these new roles and maybe look like they're going to absolutely bomb on and be some sort of, not like, you know, legends or like, you know, some of the best players in the world, but very good players. And they are already basically very good players, so why not let them crack on? But obviously you need to sign players, which Liverpool will. Yeah. There just needs to be some sort of like calm. Everyone needs to just take deep breaths and realise this.
Yeah, you're right. I think if I could give any advice to anyone who is on Twitter constantly, try and just make your own opinion. I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds like I'm like having a dig. I'm not actually trying to have a dig. Yeah, because I'm not trying to have a dig. Mate, but it's like I fall for it at times. Like I'll hold my hands up. At times I'll see an opinion. I'll be like, maybe.
You know what it is, yeah. This is what I'll say before we end the podcast. And I'm just going to be brutally honest. It's the doom and gloom merchants of the Twitter sphere. I don't know why, but this day and age in football, Twitter, or whatever it's called, it's cool and popular to be a doom and gloom merchant. I can put one tweet up about the ownership or something like that, and they'll all just spam my mentions like, oh, but you said this, oh, but you said that. Yeah, I'm just not an angry person every single day of my life. I love this club. I get frustrated by it sometimes. Would I like new owners with a bit more ambition? I think most of us probably would. The difference is I don't let it get a hold of my life. Like, life is stressful enough to already live as it is without John Henry being on your mind 24/7. So like, oh my gosh, honestly. But guys, we're going to wrap up there. I think we've covered a lot in today's streaming podcast. Make sure you check out our sponsors, Your Foot Card. I've got one behind me. I would take it off the wall, but I'll probably leave a big patch of pulled off paint. So I'm not going to do that. But it's the way I put it on, by the way. I think now you get like a specific like pad to put it on. But yeah, it looks good. But apparently I've heard that the new ones are even better than that. That is a few years old. So make sure you check it out. Use TAT Pod in the discount on, you know, when you can put a code in. Do that. Help the guys out. Help us out. And we'll all be happy. And guys, as soon as more news breaks on this Szoboszlai or any other player, we'll be straight here to bring you guys the latest. Once again, smash the like button on the way out and take care. We'll see you next time. Sports Social Podcast Network.